Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Swing and a high fly ball by Riley. Deep left. Ramirez back. Wall. That ball is a majestic homer for Riley. And that ties a Braves record. Riley with his 16th home run matches Ryan Klesko's rookie mark before the All-Star break. Klesko did it in 1994.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
You got to be tighter on that.
Morning.
And, of course, the call, Austin Riley. And, by the way, who was one of the few people and early people who invoked the name Ryan Klesko when talking about Austin Riley? Who
How
was
about
that?
How about that?
I caught a little bit of grief for that.
I didn't say his
whole career. I'm just talking about how the guy swings out of his shoes. And there's something about the way his ball, his home run balls take off. And he did. And Ken brought up a good point. He did almost win it last night. Because I'm telling you, these guys did not go away quietly in the ninth inning.
No, did not. Did not.
Had a little dink ground ball that bounced over the pitcher's head. Who was it that got on first? Was it Markakis? Markakis got on first. He hit two foul balls. One of them, I think, is still going. Those guys in the booth were amazed. They said, that's the farthest, longest home foul ball we've ever seen in this place. But what Austin Riley has been this first half of the season, this rookie year.
And the thing of it is, he wasn't here from the start of the season. You know, he wasn't here from the very start. And look at what he's done in the short, well, relatively short period of time that he's been with the big league club. It's been simply remarkable. And a big part of this team's success. And I think there's still, who is it that still needs to get a 15th today? Albies, I think. If he gets that, that will give the Braves six players with 15 homers.
Before the All-Star break.
And I don't think any other big league team has ever had that before.
And you know what? That's all well and fine. But, you got to keep your eye on the prize, right? And we've seen the opposite happen where teams weren't doing anything before the All-Star break and came back, and they got a trophy at the end, and vice versa. We don't want to be vice versa. You know, the gold standard for all of this, and if you're a baseball fan, you realize this is a marathon. 116 wins, right? Net record? Seattle Mariners. Sweet Lou. Sweet Lou was the manager. They didn't win at all.
No.
Tom Brady and them boys went undefeated until they ran into Eli Manning and what's his name with the ball on his helmet? I can't even think of his name.
Tyree.
Right now. I was gonna say Gil Tyree.
Not Gil Tyree. but I'm just you're right about that. And the thing for the Braves, like you said, eye on the prize is to get to the next round, to get to the NLCS, and that's what we want to see this team do, not just get back to the postseason. Of course, when things started out, didn't go so well that first week with Philadelphia, everybody jumped on Philadelphia's bandwagon and said they're going to be the team. I know we didn't. But a lot of people did and said they were going to be the team to beat in the
NLCS.
With
their newly acquired multi-millionaire?
Yeah. You know, but not just that. They felt like they had good starting pitching. Andrew McCutchen, they felt like they had a lot of talent in place that would allow them to get there and be that team throughout the season, and the Braves are going to be playing for the wild card. That's what a lot of people felt, and that's not the case. Look at where we are right now. As we head to the All-Star break, I can't say I saw the Braves having this kind of a lead going to the All-Star break. It's nice to be in first place.
Yeah, it is.
But to be in first place and have this kind of lead is simply remarkable for
breathing
the
room.
Team.
Yeah. Breathing room. Yeah. Ken brought up an interesting point, though, that the fact that you haven't invoked, and he said it the proper way, your friend, who came on this show weeks ago, and I just invoked his name, Gil Tyree, our boy who used to be live. Remember when Gil came on here and was spitting nails about Philadelphia?
He's living up there.
He's like,
And the Phillies were in town.
That's right. And he said, let me set y'all straight about this Phillies team. And he just broke it down. and talked about his problems with them and why they were not going to be successful this year, at least this particular makeup Philadelphia Phillies team. Not going to get it done. And the fact that you are now, again, this is All-Star break.
Yeah.
So let's be consistent with this. We don't want to say he's 100% right, but we like what we're seeing so far, that these guys are looking up at the Braves.
I think that's it. And we didn't know it. We were hearing him say it, but sure enough, that's the way things have happened. And we see how the Braves are going to finish up going to the break today. 120 game time out at SunTrust Park. Dallas Keuchel will get his fourth start since coming to the Braves. And let's see if he can have another performance like his last one and the team get some runs for him this time.
I'm just taking a deep breath here because I'm enjoying the fact that they are sitting where they're sitting going into this All-Star break. But let me ask you this. Are you looking forward to All-Star festivities and just everything surrounding? I'm not going to do this kind of show where we talk about who's got the best All-Star weekend or well,
if you mean events that go on around it like
NBA, like, baseball, Pro Bowl, hockey, and skills challenge, all that stuff. I'm not doing that show, but
no,
you looking forward to it this year?
I'm looking forward to the home run derby because, once again, you're getting to see players in it that you want to see in it.
And we got our boy in there, Acuna's in there.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to seeing that, unlike the NBA's slam dunk competition. Not saying we're going to get into the comparison. That is something that Major League Baseball is giving the fans what they want to see. You want to see players, the ones you want to see participate in it. And that's what we're getting a chance to see. And hopefully we have the champion coming from our team. That'll be a lot of fun.
Are you worried about Acuna? Are you worried about his swing?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm not asking. Ken's asking that question, and that's the question that we've heard answered by a number of players who've said, I ain't worried about my swing going into the second half as I participate in this event.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, we've seen him change and adapt enough, and he's still evolving, you know, as a player. I don't think participating in a home run derby is going to do anything
and
to his game.
And listen, you ain't got to hit him 500 feet. We don't expect him to go up there and hit Frank Thomas, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa length home runs. Get it 375 feet.
Yeah.
They get it right over the fence. That's that still counts.
That's all you want. That's all you want.
That's all that counts. Hit 20 of them, you're good. It ain't your job to go out there and wow the people.
Just go out there and get it done. He wows the people anyway. I mean, I think everyone is kind of marveled at what he does and the way he's done things so young in his major league career. So he already has a wow factor around him as people watch him around the league and as we watch him from day to day play here. But just to get a chance to do that on the big stage during All-Star weekend, I think is fantastic. Looking forward to seeing. Looking to seeing Vlad Guerrero Jr. too. I think he's going to be.
Talk about people swinging out of their shoes.
Yeah, that dude takes a cut.
I can't remember.
He takes a cut.
He does, and just like Daddy. But yeah. I can't remember. Does he play without gloves like his old man too? Batting gloves?
Not sure.
I can't remember. That was one thing about his father, and there weren't many people. He was one of the last ones that just didn't wear batting gloves when he was up there. And here's the thing. I realize he ended up, I think he was at the Angels, something like that. But he spent a good bit of time up in Montreal.
Yes.
You want some gloves on your hand if you're playing in Montreal, especially early in the season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. But he handled it and, you know, came through it just fine, man, and delivered.
Again, the best producer in the tri-state area has just told me he does wear gloves.
He does wear the best producer in the tri-state.
I think that should be his title now. We'll call him Ken. You like that, Ken? Is that okay?
There we go.
The best producer in the tri-state area.
Let's get some T-shirts.
We did. Get a bumper sticker. Put that on there. And by the way, walk around here with it. Maybe somebody will see it. Maybe it'll be a bump someplace.
There you go, man. There you go. We get something started.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, you ready for another one?
What's that?
Ready for another teenager that got it done on the big stage.
The big stage.
Andrew Jones.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Andrew Jones, 19 years old, standing in Yankee Stadium during the World Series.
How about that?
And was not fazed at all. Pitch, home run number one. Next pitch, home run number two in Yankee Stadium.
Yep. That's something.
And then they came back here and got swept. But Andrew, on the other hand, he performed.
Yeah.
And throughout the show today, Sam and I have been naming teenagers who got it done on the big stage in honor of Coco Gauff getting it done at Wimbledon. And coming up, we're going to kind of give our – you haven't given me any. I've given you three so far.
Okay.
You haven't given me any. Man, we started off with Boris Becker, anniversary of him winning Wimbledon. He was 17.
Yep.
Griffey, when he arrived on the scene at 19, just set Major League Baseball on fire. By the way, did I ever tell you that home run he hit with his old man? You know, that's the record, the only father and son to hit a home run.
In the same game?
In the same game. Okay. That was on my birthday.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
In September.
I did not know.
And anyway, the third one that we've given out is Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones.
Now, we could go ahead.
I'll give you one for tennis, and there are a couple. Obviously, we had some, and that's one of the reasons we're talking about them, and one of the reasons there now is a limit in the number of tournaments that you can play at a certain age. Tracy Austin, who won her first title, not major title, but first tournament at 14 and won the U.S. Open at 16. But we all know by the time she was like 21, 22, she was basically
done. Yeah, she was done.
You know?
She was – and I don't know what happened. I think the pressure on her was that she was seen as the next Chrissy Everett.
Yep. And there was but that's the thing. That's the thing about tennis and about all sports. We're always looking for what's next and who's next. But no sport consumes its young the way tennis does. I mean, tennis loves to consume its young. Yeah. You know, who's next, and they just gobble them up, you know. And I think that's why they built some things into the rules for age limitation. But we'll get into that this morning, really, and invite some of our listeners to participate, because I put it on my Facebook page. If Coco Gauff was your child, how often would you want her to play these professional tournaments?
But if you know going in that minors can only play X amount of tournaments throughout the course of the year. Here's my bigger question.
Okay.
Bigger question. She does what she does this week at Wimbledon, okay? We don't know how it's going to end, but it's been a overwhelming success so far. Would you agree?
Already. She's got a shoe deal. She's with New Balance. The New Balance people are just grinning ear to ear.
Okay.
Because they have something that they know that Nike and Under Armour and Adidas wish they could get their hands on.
So this is her seventh tournament. She's limited to 10, if I heard you correctly, or through the course of the calendar year.
And there's ways she can earn. No, until her next birthday.
Oh, to her next birthday? Okay.
Her next birthday, which is March of next year. She just turned 15.
Okay. So here's my thing. How many times would you, as you ask that question to parents, knowing what you have to do to prepare, because we see these tune-up tournaments before majors, this is July, how many times would you want to see her play before Labor Day and the U.S. Open, the start of the U.S. Open?
She probably would only play one tournament. I would think.
Yeah, but how many times would you want her?
I would want her to play at least a couple of times.
There you go.
At least twice. But you got to remember also, Greg, she made it through the qualifying round in order to get into the main draw.
For this?
She's already played 2 weeks of tennis.
Dude, I understand that, but what I'm saying
is she's played 2 weeks of tennis.
Yes, she has. Oh, look at that. That's kind of crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
I looked up and I saw myself. that was stupid. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. folks, you have to know what we're laughing about right now. I mean, we've mentioned that.
I
have heard, and it scared him. Greg looks up at the monitor, and there's a commercial spot for Sprite that he's in, and that's why he just lost his spot there. He just looked up on the air and saw himself and lost it. Nice going, partner. Nice going. I have heard so much this week from people who said, man, is Greg on a commercial? Yeah, Chris Draft, friend of the show.
Oh, man. Travels a lot.
Travels a lot all over the place. He texts me, man, I saw Greg on the spot for Sprite. I said, yep, yes, that's him. I mean, so many people have remarked to me this week that know that we work together as senior man, and that's remarkable. The hard work you put into it, and
I've been blessed since March. Two nationals. The guy, thanks to Ernie Johnson.
Yeah, how about that?
The Geico commercial.
How about that?
Well, they pulled that thing right off. They pulled it right off March Madness, and they hit that shot. And the next midnight, that spot was obsolete. Couldn't get no more from it.
As soon as they played Luther, it was gone.
I was going to finish my spot and turn this around. I had a full circle. I was bringing this with Andrew Jones and the Braves and talking about what's going on down the street here in a couple hours, which I will get to next. Got a special day at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yes.
We are going to have a presence down there, and in a roundabout way, where Andrew's from, the Netherlands, is involved in it, right?
How
you see
about
the tie
that?
In there?
Yeah,
we'll talk about that next. What a point, Doc Robertson. Talking Atlanta United. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
To the penalty spot. It's headed in for a goal. Calvo. Atlanta United concedes early on the road again. Group shot, score. Oh, Atlanta United, they do not have it here. He strikes it and scores. Pong, who breaks away, shoots and scores. Stop the fight.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Sam and Greg, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Sun's up. Beautiful Sunday morning on the outside, and hope all is well wherever you are.
Happy 4th of July.
If you're traveling in this area, if you're not off work like a lot of folks and you happen to work today, you've had to work a late shift and you're just getting off and you're headed for home, thanks for letting us ride with you. If you're up for early services on this Sunday morning, thanks for letting us ride along with you.
It's always easy to get into a pew on this Sunday.
Yeah, because people are
gone.
You can slide in there,
and
right?
Let's say what a lot of folks out there don't want to say. Right. Congratulations to those of you who finally got your house back.
Yep.
If you got your house or your apartment back,
yeah,
congratulations.
How about that?
Send them relatives up the road, down the street, around the corner.
There you go. But still enjoying this weekend. You know,
you
had a good time and whatnot. Hope it was a good time and a safe time. Hope everything went well with your fireworks. You know, some people participate in those things, and it doesn't go always as planned.
Just ask JPP.
Yeah, how about that? You know what I mean? So always we hear about those things. But hopefully everyone had a great time with those. And you're ready to go and see some different type of fireworks today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, Sam. Before you go down the road you were about to head down, let's remind the people, as we say this very effervescently, that you have a chance starting in just a few hours, 10 a.m. as a matter of fact, to join your fellow soccer fans out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Big viewing party going on to root on women's national team as they take on the Netherlands
in
the World Cup final today. They're going to open up the joint to anybody who wants to go out there and watch the match before Atlanta United take on the Red Bulls. 10 o'clock to about 1:30, John Fricke and Hugh Douglas will be broadcasting at Front Porch, and we'd love for you to come on out there and be a part of it and root this and be very safe, too.
Yeah.
Because, see, there's actually two events going. We got the two events going on, and two of them could produce, each one could produce too much drinking.
Yeah. And the celebration might be a part of it. And, you know, we don't want that to go bad.
No.
We want it to be a good day, want everybody to have it because, you know, a lot of folks got to go back to work tomorrow. So you go out, you want to finish off this weekend the right way.
Including Coco Golf, which we'll get to in a minute.
Right. We want to finish off this weekend the right way. We want to finish in the right spirit. But first of all, we want to see Atlanta.
Choose a different word than that, right?
Well, you would choose the right type of spirit.
Sam and I have had a morning so far. I mean, we've had the old-timers kick in. Well, he had the Braves losing this series. Yep. I had Atlanta United going up against Seattle. So, you know, it's first time we've been back together on the same side in a couple
weeks.
You know,
though, we're playing the Red Bulls today, and that's big. A lot of people say that Orlando City is supposed to be our rival. Our rival is supposed to be with Orlando City because of proximity and that type thing. To me, that, you know, it's never been a contest when we played those guys. The team that has given us most problems from the inception has been New York Red Bulls. And that's one this year. And it comes after simply, oh, my goodness, the performance up in Chicago this week.
Oh, yeah. That was 5-1, was it?
Yeah, dismal. Jeez. Just dismal.
And, yeah, some red cards have come out. But look, the good news is.
You're playing with 10 players. You're down a player, down 3-0, and then you lose a player. And what are you going to do after that? You know, it was just a downhill fight. I watched it for a while because I had to come in the next morning with John Fricke on July 4th. Right. And so I'm watching that. So I know we're going to talk about this. And I'm like, we're not going to have a whole lot to say about this. They got to be 5-7. I said, we're not going to say a whole lot about this. This is pretty disastrous.
Listen, these guys, what, 5 wins in the last 7 matches? They're about 3. Well, I was going to say a minute ago is the good news is Red Bulls are looking up at them.
Right.
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 And another 3 points this weekend ain't going to push them into second place in the Eastern Conference.
And
so they're all good news and things to look forward to and positively, obviously, because this season, listen, there was an anticipation, fair or unfair, lopped upon this team because of what they did last year. This is what happens when you become champion.
Absolutely.
Expectations are through the roof.
Absolutely.
And they didn't look the same, coupled with the changes that they had made. So everything was being looked at through an even bigger microscope, and at the end of the day, things seem to be righting themselves.
Yes, for new manager Frank DeBoer, new manager, new coach, and a lot of people were questioning that in the beginning of the season. What's wrong with this team? Yeah, we did have some roster moves, but not that many. Most of the crew is back from last season, and then they started to get things going their way. You know, the offense started clicking and looked more like last year. Then we take this break for a couple of weeks, and a number of our players go play for the national teams. Joseph Martinez is back with the team.
But here's my question. And I'm learning this as we've had, you know, Atlanta United on. I look at how adjustments are made in this sport, like we watch in the other sports, football, baseball, basketball, the more traditional sports. And I'm wondering what it's going to be like for him now that he's back and given the title that he's still carrying on his back. He's reigning league MVP.
He is that.
And what teams are doing to stifle him. And that's what I'm going to be watching moving forward. Because, you know, we could use him 10 goals. Okay, they can use those right now. I'll be honest with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. You want to see him come back and rejoin the team and not know how much, you know, time he's going to play today or just, you know, but we know what he can contribute when he's on the field. And so a lot of fans are looking forward to that. But before they play, there's a matter of rooting on for Team USA and the Women's World Cup and the Women's World Cup final, which I can't say everybody expected. Well, I guess going in, a lot of people figured the U.S. women's team was the favorite.
Right.
To be there. They had some stern tests, you know, to get there the last few matches. They were not cakewalks and breezes like the earlier matches they had in it.
That's okay, as long as they get the W. You know, Rapinoe's back, the hamstring the hamstring situation, because it wasn't really an injury, it was just, they call it a situation. She's going to be right for today. Everybody's healthy, according to the players. But you hear that from all players in all sports. I'm good to go.
Well, especially for this match.
Exactly.
You're not going to miss this one.
But you hadn't heard any sort of treatments that these players were going through leading up to this. That would have been a concern. But that hasn't been the case.
No.
So we're good to go. Again, if you want to watch this this match out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we are going to be out there, we meaning John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. I'm sure there'll be other folks in the station out
there.
Watching the Halo.
I'm sure.
And then you just hang around and watch Atlanta United and Red Bulls afterwards.
Yeah.
That's a full day.
It really is. And there's more soccer later on, I think, because in the men's Gold Cup, you got USA against Mexico. And that comes up later on today. So, I mean, that's a lot of soccer going on today you want to watch for. Of course, with our team here, Atlanta United, but also with our national teams.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Throughout the show today, Sam and I have been talking about, in honor of Coco Gauff, teenagers who have landed on the professional national stage and made some noise in a way that we just did not expect. And again, Coco Gauff has done that this past week at Wimbledon. So throughout the show, we were naming people, and as we sit here and talk about soccer, there's another name we could bring up.
Okay.
Freddie Adu.
Yeah.
What happened to that dude?
Burst on the scene at 14 and big contracts and big shoe endorsements and everything. And it kind of never happened. You know, I mean, he was a good player, but never that player that people thought that he would be. That's a lot of pressure to put on a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
It really is. But then again, it's a team sport. It makes you admire what Coco Gauff does, even when she's 15, an individual.
Yeah, but ain't nobody kicking her. Nobody's bumping her when the cameras or the ball's on the other side of the field. He was getting bounced around, okay? And we know how, you know, soccer players, we won't say flop.
Yeah,
but you don't know the difference between when they really get hit and they're flopping.
But you're at that level, though. You're playing with grown men.
That's right. That's why you can't go right from high school to the NFL.
Yeah, right. You go there with grown men. That's a different animal. And you know, I think that was part of.
What was the strength of his game? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was his speed.
I was just going to say, was he just as quick as can be?
Yes, supposed to be really fast.
Who did they put him on? Who did they put him next? Obviously, it wasn't Pele, but who was the soccer player they said he was going to be the next? Because we talked about Tracy Austin, and everybody penned her as the next Chris Everett.
I don't know, because he came in playing with DC United, mm-hmm. as we up in Washington. But he was just supposed to be really, really fast and was going to bring some speed and excitement. And everyone was looking forward with anticipation to seeing it. But, I mean, at that age, you know, like I said once again, you're going up against grown men. And the athletes that even play that sport have changed. We talk about tennis and why you can't see a teenager win a tournament the way you saw them play back in the day, because the athlete has changed. It's a different, especially on the men's tour. We mentioned Boris Becker winning at 17. Mats Wilander winning a big tournament, I think, when he was like 16.
Mats Wilander. I haven't thought about that dude in forever.
He's a teenager.
Him and Stefan Edberg.
Right.
When they came
in. It was the Swedes. Before them, it was Borg. It was like they were part of the progression of the Swedish players from Sweden.
Mats Wilander. Stefan Edberg. There was some other guy I'm thinking of. But anyway, let me. I can't think of who it is. But I don't want to switch. I don't want to cross my wires here with the two sports. You had mentioned something. Oh, we're talking about Freddie Adu. We're talking about Coco and young players. And you said you got some notices from folks and parents.
Yeah.
About letting their kids play. Because, again, there is a limit to what Coco can play. Matches that she can play.
Right, or tournaments.
Tournaments. Oh, well, same thing, per
age. Well, no, I mean, you can play matches. You just hope a tournament you're going to play. She can go play exhibitions, I suppose, if you wanted to. You want to play exhibitions?
Hey, call your boy over to BB&T. I know we got Venus coming, right?
Well, we got Venus and Madison Keys for this year.
Okay, well.
But I think we kind of know who we might see for next year for the women's exhibition match.
You kind of tease that as if I know who you're talking about.
I would think we would see.
Oh, so you're talking about Coco?
Yeah, exactly. For next year.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not going to put Eddie Gonzalez on the
can't we have two women's matches?
I think up here, I think.
Why couldn't we?
People are going to ask a lot more about that going forward.
Especially if it highlights an American player.
A lot of people will say, why couldn't Atlanta's tournament be a two-tier event, just like in Washington, D.C.? Washington, D.C. plays a two-tier event, men's and women's, in 1 week.
Look, let me just tell you right now.
Okay.
The best producer in the tri-state area just came up with something that you and I could wrap our arms around.
Yeah.
And you and I promote this way.
Okay.
Get Coco here. Now, obviously, it's not enough time to do it for this year, right?
Nah.
Okay. But next year, coming home. She's coming home to play in front of a crowd that would not see her lest they travel to other parts of the country. So Coco is coming home. Get that song, Coming Home. Remember when they used that?
Here we go.
But I'm saying that would be the draw.
Okay.
Even though she went down to Florida.
She could be a part of that, or she could do an exhibition during the – because remember, they're going to want to save the number of tournaments she can play. So maybe she does some exhibitions.
So you do this exhibition here.
You do one here in the fall. That could happen in the fall.
See?
That could happen to U.S. Open.
And you and I orchestrate. You get your boy from the BB&T, who we have on all the time, and say, you're kind of busy. I'll handle it. Me and Greg will get this worked out. We'll pick her up. I own a limo company.
A limo company.
I'll put her in a Sprite commercial. I'll take her over to see Clint. Well, man, we got it worked out.
Oh,
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I always knew that I can come back no matter what the score is, and I just kind of went for my shots, and I'm happy that slice down the line went in.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That was the biggest story in American sports right now.
Yeah.
We'd agree?
Absolutely.
Coco Gauff over at Wimbledon, getting it done, making it to the fourth round. There are people who are screaming at us right now talking about the Kawhi trade. Excuse me, the Clippers' acquisition of Kawhi being bigger. But I don't know.
Worldwide,
of an American, too.
Right.
And nobody expected. We knew Kawhi was possibly going to go to L.A.
Yeah, we knew that.
We didn't know this about Coco.
Yeah.
So, in honor of her and what she has done this week, Sam and I throughout the show have been talking about teenagers who have landed on the big stage professionally and made noise. If you're just joining us, we started off by talking about, we started with Boris Becker, 17, who won Wimbledon in 85. Ken Griffey Jr. came in, 19 home runs his first year. Griffey had 16 home runs. He was 19 his rookie season. Tracy Austin, you mentioned her. Freddie Adu. Andrew Jones, who can forget it, locally at least, two home runs in Yankee Stadium,
the
World Series, even though the Braves came back and lost that. So we've been thinking some others. Now, the greatest producer in the tri-state area, or is it the best producer?
Yes.
He might have ascended to the greatest.
We'll get those bumper stickers done, will we? Yeah.
That's Ken. He brought up the NBA guys. And, brought up Kobe.
Okay.
Was he an unexpected burst-out star that rookie season out of high school?
I don't think so.
He
was there. He kind of struggled a bit with jump. And
he didn't have Shaq either. Right?
No. Okay. When he first landed out of L.A., he was.
All right, so you're on the fence with that one. How about LeBron?
LeBron showed up, and he had to figure his way out some, too. I mean, he ended up doing great things that first year. He's in Cleveland. You know, Kobe was in a place that had some success. He was kind of trying to extend that in a way and start a new generation of it. Cleveland had never been
All right.
You know.
Well, speaking of cities you don't have much respect for, how about Minneapolis and Kevin Garnett?
We're just talking about a lot of the guys who back before they made the one and done, guys who were able to go straight from high school and play.
I'm thinking of Hall of Famers now. When they came, these certain Hall of Famers, when they came in right out of high school, adding them to the list. You're nodding your head.
Or a guy like
Kobe.
Tracy McGrady.
Listen, he shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. See, don't get me started on that.
There you go.
No, he didn't make no noise.
You said Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but the guys were, you notice I didn't bring him up. Okay, so you brought him up. And I'm sure he'd be happy to know you thought of him that way. But no, I ain't saying him. But these are the NBA guys.
Yeah.
The gold standard as far as that is Moses Malone.
Right.
Who was the first, right?
Right.
And right into the Hall, into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I'm just trying to think of another guy out of high school that came in and landed like a proven rookie coming out of college. That's actually what we're looking for here. We're looking at, you know, now obviously Zion, we don't know what's happening with him and what's going to happen. He's obviously going to sit the rest of the summer.
I mean,
a guy
like a Daryl Dawkins or somebody like that or something, you know, he came in with a big splash.
Yeah, but Chocolate Thunder was all about dunks.
Yeah, he was at that.
You know, that's not ascending your team, making your teammates better, though.
Well, no. But, I mean, he's a guy that came in with a bunch of flash. You noticed him.
All right. Okay, so who are we leaving off this that you can think of? Again, we've got the ones we've mentioned, Andrew Jones. We mentioned these three NBA guys.
Freddie Adu. Right.
Tracy Austin.
There are quite a few I mentioned earlier. No other sport puts pressure on an athlete to achieve at an early age than gymnastics. How about Nadia Comaneci?
So are the Olympics the equivalent of a professional athlete? Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. You put that much work into it. You know what I mean? And that type thing, what you play for and compete for, you're representing your country. But I think you can't find a more pressure-packed situation or environment to have to perform in than something that's only going to happen once every 4 years. With any other sport, all right, don't make it this time, okay, better luck next year.
Yeah, but here's
not so with an Olympic athlete. And
point taken, but given the list that we're putting together here, can't you argue that theirs was an event or – just a few events as opposed to a 2 week tournament, as we talk about in tennis.
I mean, you got to work your way to get to it.
Well,
I mean, Coco,
okay.
You know what I mean? You don't just pop up.
But most of the athletes at the Olympics are teenagers. A good bit of them are.
No.
A good bit of them are. You talking about gymnastics? You're talking about
gymnastics.
Summer and winter? Yeah.
It was have to be
gymnastics. Because they can't be professionals at that point.
I don't know if they're all teenagers. No, Olympic athletes, not all teenagers.
I didn't say all of them. I said a good bit of them are teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, for that particular event.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of teenagers out there running track. You got to develop some to get there and be successful and make your Olympic team, you know. So, I mean, that's the other thing you think about.
Our producer, and I was thinking about this too, Tyson, I think, was 20 when he won the championship.
But he was already on the scene.
He was on the scene.
At about 18 or 19, he was out there, you know, making his way up. So he was already winning a lot of bouts. He just hadn't gotten the championship yet.
Yeah, I can't think of a boxer that was
champion as a teenager.
That's young.
That's young to go out there and have that kind of level of success.
NFL?
A lot of careers starting. No,
I'm saying. I'm just kind of knocking down sports here.
No, NFL, thankfully, they don't allow you to do that in NFL.
I was trying to think of a kicker.
I mean, you still wouldn't be a teenager. Yeah. You wouldn't be a teenager out there.
So we eliminate football. We eliminate – hockey, I can't think of anybody.
Well, Gretzky was pretty young when he came on the scene. I think when he arrived on the scene, he may have been like a teenager, maybe like 19, professionally. And talking about the Edmonton days.
Right.
The days that a lot of us really didn't get to see.
Nobody saw them. They weren't on TV.
NHL didn't have a TV deal.
The NBA didn't get their TV package. We saw live games until like, 83, 84?
Something like that, yeah.
The NHL, I ain't no telling when they got theirs. It might be a week from now. I'm not too sure.
You really didn't see it.
No, nothing.
During a lot of those years, you just saw little highlight clips of him until he went to L.A. You know, the Kings, you know. That's when we really got to see him play.
Well, you know what? This would be a perfect time to reach out to our audience as we hit a brick wall with this. But I want to get back to the Andrew Jones thing. But 404-741-0929. Or you can hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number. And what he did, that were you covering that Braves team?
I had,
it was the Olympic year, that's right.
Yep, I was up the road in North Carolina. I was watching it from up there.
By the way, for those of you just joining us, one of the conversations we got into before we went on the air, and we wondered because they were showing clips of the Washington Nationals and they were playing in Montreal Expo uniforms.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool to see. I haven't seen that in a minute. You can make an argument, and there are people who will, to say that were it not for the strike, Braves don't get that World Series ring in 95. Because the best team in baseball at that point, when that strike hit, were the Montreal Expos. Easily. You had your Pedro. You had your who made the last out for the Braves when they won it? That dude was on the Expos then in 94, Marquise Grissom. But that 94 Expos team, they had been up the Braves' back those years prior to that when the Braves went to the World Series and were winning the division. But they were right on the cusp of ending that. The strike hits, and the next thing you know, that team breaks up.
Yep. Yeah, it's going in different directions. And that was kind of the precursor of that whole franchise, getting ready to move and relocate to Washington.
Do you want to see baseball back in Montreal? Would you like to see that?
Not that I would buy a ticket to fly up there to watch him.
No, but,
I mean,
would you like
to cool. It'll be neat.
They've shown that they really, really, really want a team up there again.
Okay.
All right. They may not have supported it the way they should have before, but not having one up there, because they got nothing. What, Montreal Alouettes? The CFL?
No, they still got the
and they got the, you know, they got the Canadians, but hockey is part of air up there.
Right.
Okay, it's nothing really special to have a hockey team in Canada. In your city, you can see that everywhere. But baseball is special. And you got to look at who would be the team that would relocate. And folks in Tampa don't get a spit about the Rays. And it's hot and uncomfortable in that stadium. And that thing's, McEachern High School's baseball stadium is better than this thing down there in Tampa. I've been to that. I don't know what it's called now, but it was SunTrust when I was there.
I was there. It was Tropicana.
Again, the best producer in the tri-state area reminds us why the Nationals are doing this. Or Tampa Bay, excuse me. Why Tampa Bay is doing this? Because, I mean, do you know anybody who's a fan of that team, but B, when has anything nice to say once they've gone down there and experienced a game in that stadium?
No, I haven't been to a baseball game. I went to basketball there just before the Rays started. They had an NCAA regional in there. And so the time I was there was to watch basketball being played in the place.
Right.
And even that, it wasn't, you know, the building sat there for years before they got a team.
Was it the Suncoast Stadium or something
like
that?
Originally. And yeah. it just sat there for about 6 years, I think, before they actually got a team to come and play in it. And even in the work area for the media, there were light fixtures dangling from the ceiling, wires. And I was like, good grief, man. And they're going to play baseball here in a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
You know, and that was back before when the team was first getting started there. So that the stadium and the situation has always been something I think a lot of people weren't crazy about. But they were glad to get Major League Baseball there now that they've had it for a few years. The support hasn't always been great. And the teams have been good. They're a great team this year.
Damn.
You know, they're a great team this year. But, you know, we'll see what happens. They're saying that playing some of the games in Montreal would help preserve the team for Tampa. I don't know how that works out.
Yes.
I think if you're going to Montreal and people turn out in Montreal, the news are going to pack their stuff.
Going to get back to the Braves. Hiccup yesterday against the Marlins. They're still looking good going into the All-Star break. Also, Wimbledon. And we are going to talk more Coco Gauff coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But up next, some chances, some jobs, the casting call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.